Psalm 37, a lot. When y'all look at this, what do you do as you study this for the Sunday school? I didn't say you're in Sunday school. There you go. But when I study for it, I just go through, you know, verse by verse and mark the verses that we will talk about, that we will highlight. Especially when you have five chapters, it's hard to, you know, read every word. One of the visitors that was here 2 weeks ago said that that was one of the things that he appreciated was the read a verse and explain it, read a verse and explain it, rather than read the whole thing and then go back and explain it. So, but anyway, that's what I try to do. And so there's a lot in this lesson that's marked up. Verse 1, Psalm 37, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Wow, what a verse, huh? Yeah, what a verse. Neither be thou envious against workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Verse 3, trust in the Lord. Do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Verse 3, trust. Verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Verse 4, delight. A pastor was speaking to me this week, and he's a new pastor who was just ordained a month or so ago, but the topic of alcohol came up in some context, and he said, I want y'all to understand something. He said, I'm a Christian, I'm a Baptist, I'm a pastor, but I drink as much as I want to. And of course, he got the same look that some of you just had. And he said, but here's what you got to realize is that as a Christian, my want to is gone when it comes to alcohol. Right? So the desires, this is the key in verse number 4. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You delight yourself in the Lord, and he gives you your desires. The key is our desires change. You know, I remember, 20 years ago, trying to lose weight, and somebody says, well, what are you doing differently? And I said, I eat whatever I want. And that was true, but what was different? My wants had changed. You know, if your desires change, it's easy to change your lifestyle. But when our desires are immersed in excess and fleshliness, whatever, worldliness, whatever you want to say, you know, then it's going to go against us. So change the desires of your heart. Verse 3, trust. Verse 4, delight. Verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Commit thy way unto the Lord. What does that mean? God, whatever you want, I'll do whatever you want. There's a pastor, he hasn't been pastoring in some time, and you know, I was talking to him about whether he was going to pastor again, because after a period of time, he began to wonder, is he ever going to do it again? And he said directly to me, he said, I will go wherever God wants me to go. Because, you know, he thought, well, maybe he's not leaving because he likes it where he is. He just likes the community. He said, I will go wherever God wants me to go. And that's what this is, commit thy way unto the Lord. I'll give everything to God. Just God, just show me where to go. My life belongs to you. Commit. Verse number 7, rest in the Lord. How many of you have a hard time with that one? Kind of goes back to the other three, verse 3, trust, delight, commit. So what are we seeing? If you had to put all that in one word, what would it be? Trust, believe, faith, surrender. All right, you stop looking at my notes. and none of that's wrong, but the word that I see when I look at this is surrender. You know, we surrender. We just give it to God. God, whatever you want. What did Job say? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Just whatever God wants. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently. And we have a hard time with that, don't we? Have a hard time waiting patiently. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth. Again, what is that? When we look at other people and what they have, comparison can destroy us. You know, it's the enemy of success. Comparison, whatever you're looking at, or how come they are succeeding and I'm not? Don't worry about them. We have no idea what's going on in people's lives except what they allow us to know. And you may look at a couple and think, boy, they're just the happiest couple. But I've told you before about the couple that came to me and sat down. But actually, it wasn't the couple. It was the wife. And she said, Pastor, I know that in front of everybody, it looks like we're so in love. But that is all show, because when we get home, he stays away from me. Hardly talks to me. Like, no interaction. But when we go out in public, he wants everybody to see they've got a great marriage. And so we never know what's going on behind closed doors. And so he says, fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Don't let the world and the fear turn us into nasty human beings. Verse 3, trust. Verse 4, delight. Verse 5, commit. Verse 7, rest. Verse 8, cease. If you don't have those highlighted or circled, I have them circled in my Bible. Evildoers, verse 9, shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Verse 11, but the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Verse 13, the Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. Verse 12 talks about the wicked. So what is this inherit the earth? What is he talking about? See, as Christians, we constantly hear the preaching that those who don't know God go to hell, and those who are believers go to heaven. And so we talk about going to heaven or spend eternity. That's not exactly accurate, because the Bible says that death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire. So hell is not eternal. Lake of fire is eternal. Okay? And the Bible also says there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And so there will be dwellers both in heaven and in earth. So when he talks about inheriting the earth, and he's talking about, look at what he says, he's talking about peace. Do we have peace on earth? Sure don't. Even without the events of yesterday, which are fresh on everybody's minds, the world is mad, and so we don't have peace on earth right now. But there's coming a day when there will be a new earth that's not scarred with sin. It doesn't have the influence of Satan. And he, you know, right now he's in the center of the earth. He won't even be there. We get a new one without any marking of the devil. So we look toward the inheritance of the earth. The Bible talks about that. Jesus uses that same phrase in Matthew. Verse 16, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. A little. That, you know, God can use a little. Little is much when God is in it. Remember that song? Verse 21, the wicked borroweth and payeth not again. Seems like maybe we should be posting that somewhere, huh? The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous shows mercy and giveth. So on one hand is the taker, and on the other hand is the giver. Verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. We go back to where he says, commit thy way unto the Lord. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So if we'll let God guide us, if we'll let him lead us, and we'll trust in him with every step, then, you know, the outcome is up to him too. Where God guides, God provides. The most dangerous place in the world is to be outside the will of God. Doesn't matter where you are if you're outside the will of God. The Bible says that he does. He takes his hands off and waits. He's not unconscious of them. He's aware, but he's waiting for them to call back. And we do that too, don't we? Sometimes, you know, we get tired of being the one that's initiating all the time, and so we go, you know what, I'll just wait. And when they're interested in this friendship, they'll call me. And you know what happens a lot of times? We get a lot of free time because it was a one-way deal. I mean, that's just the way it is. By the way, I love people and that I don't, you know, if I left it up to them, maybe we wouldn't be friends. And that's the reality. But God intentionally, we can see the example over and over again in the Old Testament. That's what he did with Israel. He says, okay, you want to worship Ashtaroth? I'll let you do your thing. And then what would happen? They'd get beat. They'd call out to God, and God would say, I never left. I've always been here, but I was waiting on you to call me. And that's exactly right. Verse 24, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Love that verse. Don't you love that? Trusting in the Lord. Verse 28, for the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. Verse 31, the law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. Verse 37, mark the perfect man. Behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. So he's saying, you watch him. You can look. And you're going to see that they're going to have peace. Somebody who walks with God. It doesn't mean that their life is peaceful, that there's no tragedy or crisis or resistance around them, but they have peace. Guys, that's the ultimate. That's the win, to have peace. And realizing, number one, that I can do certain things to make a difference. But there are certain situations I cannot help. No matter how much I want to, no matter how much I try, I can't help it. I can't fix it. And so it's best to keep our hands out of it. We've got, you know, again, mark the perfect man, behold the upright, the end of that man is peace. Verse 39. The salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. So David's not telling us that they won't have trouble. Right? The ones who preach that once you get saved, all your trouble is gone, they're lying. And that's a sin. There's trouble. We cannot escape the trouble. It's around us. And we can avoid some of it by not starting it. But we can't escape it, and so we keep our hope in God, our strength in God. Psalm 38, go to verse 15, if you will. Well, go to verse 5. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. Isn't that a great verse? I mean, now that's confession right there. It was me. I did it. Sometimes I'm wrong. Right? The guy in the mirror. I always think of that cartoon that hung on our refrigerator at home when I was a kid. And I want to say it was Andy Capp. Y'all remember that cartoon? And there he was praying. You know, next, he's praying, Lord, smite my enemy. And the next frame, it shows him, you know, blown up in a lightning strike. Because who's my worst enemy? Right? Psalm 38:15. For in thee, O Lord, do I hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord, my God. Verse 18, I will declare my iniquity. I'll be sorry for my sin. I'll recognize my sin. Right? We can't hide it. We can't justify it. One of the things I believe, as a father, I know it irritates me, so it's got to irritate God, when we try to justify doing wrong. When we do something wrong and then have this is the reason. It's not my fault, right? Can't be me. Yeah, it's you. And so we just admit it. Psalm 39, verse 4, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. What will that result in? Trusting in him? Humility, right? A desire to do better, but humility. None of us are getting out of here alive unless the rapture occurs. We're all frail. We, you know, look around, and this, again, reminds me so many times. Look, yesterday, you know, life was going on. People were just living, and all of a sudden, just like that, everything changed. And that's what happens every day. When I go to the hospital, especially in those final days of someone's life, you know, it's a stark reality that the whole world is shut out of that room. And all that is focused is what's right there in that room. Whether that's in a hospital or at home or wherever it is, that room and everything else is shut off. And the real priority comes up. All the stuff that we say, oh, I got to do this, I got to do that. And all of a sudden, guess what? None of that matters. Lord, make me to know how frail I am. And the measure of my days. Verse 7. Now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. What is it? You know, is it, what's going to change our life? What's going to make everything better? Just walk with God. My hope is in the Lord. That's what he's saying. Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Told someone this morning, just like you hear me say all the time, you have survived every day so far. All the fears, all the threats, all the worry, but you've survived every day so far. You got a good track record. And so just keep it going. That's all we can do. But that's, you know, that's a song. He brought me out of the miry clay, set my feet on the rock to stay. Verse 6, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Now, what is it? What is it I can do to please God? You don't have to go be a missionary somewhere. You don't have to be a pastor or a preacher. There's all these ideas, you don't have to give, you know, a bunch of money to the church. Whatever it is, we just need to yield ourselves to God, surrender ourselves to God and say, God, whatever you want, I'll do it. Whatever it is, he just wants us. Now, if he calls you to be a missionary somewhere, by the way, somebody in the church reached out to me a couple of days ago, said, I believe God wants me to be a missionary. And so I said, okay. So, I mean, all we can do is support that, pray, and try to encourage and help and direct. But that's a calling that each of us has to know just between you and God. Nobody else can put that on you. And by the way, if that's somebody's declaration, nobody else can take that away from you. That's between you and God. Now, the church ordaining somebody depends on the church's belief in that calling. But that's how it works. Verse 8, I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Right? There's no such thing as a closet Christian. Right? How can we conceal that when God has washed our sins away? He's cleansed us from every spot and every stain. He's written our name in the book of life and assured us an eternal home in his presence. Right? How can we hide that? When God gets us out of a mess, how can we hide that? And that's what he's writing there. Psalm 41. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. Again, I was talking to somebody this week about that, about helping others. And he said, you know, we help other people, and, you know, hopefully if we ever need it, they'll help us. But, he said, God sees what we're doing and provides for us. And that's the reality. We don't do so we can receive, but we do because of the need, knowing that God is keeping account. And the Bible says he's keeping account. God's got a book of record. And in that book, he's logged every good deed you've ever done. Isn't that good? Every generous act you've ever done. Are the sins in there too? No, because they're washed away. That's not fair, is it? Is that fair? Did you hear what I just said? He put all your good stuff, he's written down all the good stuff you've ever done. And all the bad stuff is washed away. That's not fair. That's love. Right? Isn't that wonderful? God has a record of all the good stuff, all the kindness, but none of the sin. Boy, that's wonderful. Verse 4, I said, Lord, be merciful to me. Heal my soul. I have sinned against thee. Verse 9, yea, my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. But thou, Lord, be merciful to me and raise me up that I may requite them. By this I know that thou favorest me, because my enemy doth not triumph over me. When we look at what God is doing in our lives and we commit ourselves to serve him, to live for him, to follow his way, that's it. To walk with God, to have communion and fellowship with God, and go his way. To not work against him. If God is doing so much in our lives and having such, we're benefiting so much with what God is doing in our lives, what would happen if we cooperated? What would happen if we stopped being rebellious and resisting and just said, God, whatever you want, I'm yours. Just real quick, back in Psalm 37. Trust, delight, commit, rest and cease from anger. Anything else? Sister Charlotte. Yeah, there you go. We should make trophies. All right. Let's take a break.